Welcome to hour three of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Right, one more thing I wanted to share with you here about this. Then I got to read the housing covenants because I need to make sure that we all have the same historical fact and information, because I think right now a lot of people don't know the actual chronological order of history and housing covenants and discrimination and dispossessing Black people of land and disenfranchising Black voters. And if the majority of the voters are white, then protecting their property and their values and investing in their neighborhoods and their kids is going to be the priority of white voters. And so a lot of elected officials are going to follow suit. In fact, there's an entire political party dedicated to exactly that, and they're called Republicans. But it's not even really offensive to me, because that is how it has always been in this country. Caucasian, Eastern, Western, Northern, and Southern European interests are represented in America because we are a colony of those countries. So our interests are never going to be overrepresented. Even when companies seem like they were being much more sympathetic to diversity, George Floyd gets killed, and they're like, oh, we gotta make good. We've been getting away with way too much for too long. This was too egregious. This was a horrible murder. We need to do something to help Black people. So what did DoorDash do? They had, oh, here are the Black-owned restaurants. Remember that when DoorDash had a section of Black-owned restaurants? It ain't there no more. Amazon. These are Black-owned businesses and companies selling on Amazon. Support Black. Gone now. Even when they agreed to have diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, they had a diversity, equity, and inclusion officer in some of these corporations. They're all getting fired now. Somebody put in the Peanut Gallery chat that MPS is laying off, what, was it 200 people? So somebody, did you see that somewhere, Savannah? The MPS laying off 200 people? Here's what I've heard about that. I can't back it up, but this, I'm just telling you what I've heard. Maybe one of y'all can find it out. They're laying off mostly Black staff, okay, to save $60 million. Follow me now. Oh, you're going to love this. They're laying off Black paras, paraprofessionals, and other Black staff at MPS to save $60 million in salary by laying off Black people, and they're giving that $60 million to the teachers that helped them win the referendum. Bam. Woo, they hit that one out the park. That's like, I don't have the language for it. Not that I can say on air. That's like, give us the money. Let us increase your property taxes. Then your assessments are going to go up. Then we're going to fire your Black asses that work for MPS and give the money to white teachers. Like, that's checkmate. They play the game, don't they? Even if, and here's the thing that I want to say about, when I say them, I'm not talking about all of them. I'm talking about those specific ones of them. Even if Black people possess that kind of economic and political and like structural power, we would never do that to white folks. Like, our minds don't even work that way. Like, let's eternally screw white folks out of the value of their land and their property, literally forever, take more of their money, more of their discretionary income, and just give it to our kids. Black folks our hearts aren't even like that. We just get like really mad and like call them crackers. Like, that's what we do. But we would never concoct a scheme to keep them in poverty for generations and then build prisons because we know that that's where they're going to end up. You know what we would do? Teach them how to season their food and how to dance. That's the worst that we would do. I hate to admit something. I don't know how to do the electric slide. I don't know how to do it. I can't.
What?
Can't do it. I can't. It's the turn. When do I turn? What leg do I kick out when I turn? Do you know how many people I've injured because I get the turn wrong? You can't feel it. It's electric. Boogie, boogie, boogie. And you die to hold it. It's electric. Boogie, 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 boogie. And then I feel it. And I kick somebody in the face. I can't do it. It's not easy.
I'm disappointed in you.
You can be. I'm disappointed in myself.
Oh, my gosh. You just got to watch. You know, you just got to feel the vibe. And then once you get that little kick.
No.
That's when you, okay.
I can't. You think I haven't watched? And here's what's embarrassing. There have been times where I have been an absolute student of the Electric Slide. There used to be this place we used to go to in the 90s called Papa's Pub. It was one of the most racially diverse, integrated dance clubs, nightclubs ever. It was on 77th and Burleigh. This is back in the 90s. Long, long, long time ago. And it was very diverse. And they would play the Electric Slide, and I'd have to come off the dance floor. And it's white people. Oh, Sherwin, excuse me. I'm about to Electric Slide. Where are you going, Sherwin? You're not going to slide with us? Huh? I got to go to the bathroom. I got it. I always had to go to the bathroom when the Electric Slide came on. I don't know how to do it. Do people still do the Electric Slide? Is it still? They still do it, huh? It's never going out of style. I'm never going to catch a break.
Whenever there's like the end of parties at HBCUs or at least Howard, they would play, what's that song? You Make Me Happy, that one.
Oh, yeah, Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Yes, and then they would do the Electric Slide. So like it's just a tradition. It's a end of party ritual.
There's not like a class you can sign up for. Like how do black people know how to do it? Do we just teach each other? Like was you over there doing it right now in the studio? I never learned how to do Electric Slide. Let me see here. What is this? Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm watching right now. They really getting into it. You can't see it. It's electric. Yucky. You gotta see it. Oh, they cutting up. Savannah is literally doing the Electric Slide in a producer studio right now, and I'm terribly offended. That's racist. We don't pay you to do the Electric Slide. I hate every one of y'all that know how to do that. Let's talk to Ashley. Do you know how to do the Electric Slide?
Yes, I do.
I should hang up on you.
Good morning. But I just want to say this conversation is absolutely necessary. But that part where you said a revolution is like a fairy tale or a fable, why do we have to look at it like this? Like the feeling that I feel just going through some of these conversations, it's exhausting. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. Like I'm overwhelmed and I don't understand how every black person doesn't feel that way. I'm really tired of doing the same thing and expecting something different. We literally just touched on one part of the black experience. And this stuff, excuse me, was overwhelming just listening to you talk about it because it's just so messed up.
I know.
Like, no matter how much you try, it's like it's even the most American patriotic black person, you still going to get dirt thrown in your face just for you being you. So my thing is, why is a revolution something that is a fairy tale? I feel like we should be tired of doing the same thing. Like, I feel like it's time to revolt, do something different.
Ashley, this is the revolution. Where on earth can you go anywhere on this planet and hear this kind of information about institutional white racism? See, the problem is not informed.
That's
and once we get the information, that's the thing with black folks. If you give us a little bit of information, a little bit of money, a little bit of opportunity, we will be able to exploit a little bit and become incredibly powerful. So first, we need to know all that they are doing. And they've been trying to hide it. That's why they've been banning our books.
Yes.
That's why they don't want to talk about and teach black history, because eventually we're going to find out. And once we find out what they did, we will then have the tools to do it to them. Why do you think they banned abortion? Because they need to ensure a majority white population so they can always outvote us. Because they know we're going to find out. Yep. And we become the majority. We may be able to do to them what they have always done to us, dispossess our land, disenfranchise us, redistrict us, and change our boundaries of our representation. But here's what they need to know about us. That's not even in our spirit. We don't even care.
Exactly.
We just want our own and want to be left alone and want to be successful.
Right, just leave us alone.
That's
exactly.
It. But they're so worried that we're going to learn what they did to us and we're going to do it to them. We have zero interest in that.
Exactly. And I think they also want to continue. They need the people to work. They need the worker bees, the people not to be inventive with their thoughts, to just go and work for them so they can build themselves up. That's why they don't want us to think on a different level and continue to invent stuff in different ways of doing things, because they want us to stay within this system. Like you said, that's why they build the prisons and everything. And it's just, I don't know, it's just so exhausting sometimes, because it's like you can see it. Like, and I just wish we could all just like snap and see what's happening right in front of our face. Like, it's so blatant at this point, and it's exhausting when I think about it, when I have these conversations. It's necessary, but it's overwhelming sometimes. Like, God.
We'll be fine. I know the information is sometimes hard to hear, and for some people, it's really hard to hear it from me. But once we get over the initial shock and sting of the information, then we can figure out how we can best maneuver, because we will know all right. of the tricks that they use to harm us. We're going to be all right, Ashley. Exactly. Let's go do the electric slide and have a good weekend.
Yep, I can teach you. I'll show you how to do it.
Thank you, Ashley.
All right, Sherwin.
All right. Bye-bye. I cannot be taught the electric slide. I also can't be taught how to swim. I can't swim at all. I drowned immediately. I drowned in 2 feet of water.
You know what? That's fair. Honestly, I took lessons, but at the same time, it's still kind of hard. I just know how to float. As long as you can float.
I can't float.
You just put your ears in the water. That's all.
No, I
didn't. That's a trick.
No, it doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
Somebody calling you now. You better get the phone. In a recent study, county-level census of agriculture data was used to estimate the value of the lost black agricultural land for a period of 77 years, so from 1920 to 1997. For all counties in each of the 17 mostly southern states that comprised over 90% of all black-owned farmland, it was calculated that the yearly acreage loss multiplied by the county-level estimate of per-acre land values. It was then compounded that the land loss values forwarded to the year 2020 at a rate of return of 6% per year for the appreciation of the land at a rate of return of 5% per year for the income the land could provide. So this is the formula of your reparations. So just like they're doing student loan forgiveness in a piecemeal kind of way, if you went to, you know, private colleges, or if you went to like art schools, or if you went to schools that no longer exist anymore, they're doing a piecemeal. Our reparations would come in this form. So I just read a formula for you of people that we know need to be repaired financially, and that's black farmers who lost 90% of their land in the 20th century through these sinister means, okay? The results yield a cumulative value of black land loss. These are just black farmers in 17 states now. $326 billion. To put this figure in perspective, if this represented the gross domestic product of a nation, that country would rank 41st out of 213 countries in the world. This would be in the top 20% of countries ahead of South Africa, Finland, and New Zealand. So the value of the land that was dispossessed illegally from black farmers is the 41st wealthiest country on the planet. And that's just in 17 states. Now, they need reparations. I got another story here. Where's the other one? There's so much about this, y'all. This is from the New York Times article again. Every home and acre of land black people lost at tax sales and every exorbitant payment they were forced to make to save their homes from tax foreclosure not only drained black people of their earnings and assets, it quietly but powerfully contributed to the upward redistribution of wealth in white America. To give an example, in 1961, Evelina Jenkins, a black woman living in South Carolina, lost 66 acres of prime coastal real estate that she owned after a white man she had entrusted deliberately failed to deliver her $26 tax bill to the county treasurer. Then they promptly snatched her land at the county auction. Today, individual houses on the land that she owned sell for $2.5 million each, and she died penniless. Hang on a second. I came up with a $26 tax bill. I got to read that again. Evelina Jenkins, a black woman living in South Carolina, lost 66 acres of prime coastal real estate that she owned after a white man she had entrusted deliberately failed to deliver her $26 tax bill to the county treasurer. So this man was supposed to take her payment to the county treasurer, $26, and he didn't do it. So they took her land in a tax foreclosure. Now that it's prime real estate in coastal South Carolina, where houses sell for $2.5 million each, and she owns 66 acres. Do the math. Let's just say that each of those acres housed one property. Her land would be worth, simple math, 66 acres times a $2.5 million house on each acre. And it could be more like $2.5 million. So I'd say $5 million an acre minimum that land would be worth. And she died broke. Let's talk to, actually, you know what? Let me take a break. And I'm going to come back and talk to Vanessa and Miss Shaq. And talk to those two on the other side. If you want to be like Ashley, who is going to teach me how to electric slide, or Vanessa or Miss Shaq, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Hopefully I can, I got a bunch of calls I need to take, but I got to tell you guys about green belt towns. So during the Great Depression, a lot of farms went bankrupt. And so what Franklin Roosevelt did during the Great Depression is the federal government basically acquired this land, and then they gave subsidies to builders and developers to build houses, affordable houses on what used to be farmland for really, really cheap prices. And then if you were to purchase one of these properties really, really cheap on this allocated, formerly foreclosed farmland, they would give you like acres of land that was included with the property so you can grow your own food. And then they would create essentially towns by subdividing and creating subdivisions and creating suburbs from foreclosed farmland for people to live. And then businesses and companies would come to those areas and provide employment. So I need you to understand what the federal government was doing for white people at the time. Okay. They would acquire bankrupt foreclosed farmland, build really, really inexpensive houses so people could have access to home ownership. They would have several acres of land included where they could grow their own food. And then the federal government gave additional subsidies so businesses, corporations, and companies would locate in these towns. These are called green belt towns. They're all over the country. There's like 90 of them. Any town that you hear that has the term green in it, Greendale, Greenfield, Green Acres, Green Tree, all over the country were these experimental green belt towns. Here's the problem. They were whites only. This one comes from the Hyattsville Wire. When the planned city of Greenbelt began accepting applications for residents in 1937, competition was fierce with more than 5,700 families applying for the 885 homes available, but not everyone was welcome. Although the city was built on former tobacco fields farmed by several, of course, black families, the black construction workers had helped build it, but African Americans were not allowed to apply or move in. The city's population, as historian Kathy Knepper wrote, to be summarized as a community of white Protestant low-level government employees. But of course, there was not one black family. Integration meant something different back in those days, said Daniel Ray Young, who wrote a play about the city, and he said that in an article that he wrote in the Washington Post. It wasn't supposed to be this way. The original plans for Greenbelt included a separate area called the Rossville Rural Development that would be used by black farmers, but those were dropped amid opposition from white neighbors and lawmakers. So our towns here in Milwaukee of Greendale and Greenfield were also these quote-unquote Greenbelt towns. And what did they do when the land was subdivided to create these new towns? Put in housing covenants. Greendale, no persons other than the white race shall own or occupy any building on said tract. But this covenant shall not prevent occupancy of persons of any other race or of any race other than the white race who are domestic servants. Let's talk to Donna. You're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm sorry it's a delay, but I'm from New York City, and I just have a little to tell you.
Okay.
I'm sorry it's a delay once again, but anyway, I work for politicians to get elected and work for free. And when they get elected, what they do is they don't work for the constituents. And one way they do this is whoever gives them the money to fundraise or lobbyists, they actually work for them. And the politician that I was working with during Hurricane Sandy and a lot of things, he actually gave Bloomberg a third term, Mayor Bloomberg. And now the same politicians in our district ignore what's going on in our district, cater to, I don't want to say the J word, in the blue, brown word, you know, the people that don't want to be black, they cater to those people, the JBs, I'll put it. And they're charging us now to go over the bridge to go in the city. If you go over the 59th Street Bridge, it's called the Koch Bridge now because Bloomberg renamed it.
Okay.
You're going to have to pay $15.
That's a hell of a toll. So they're trying to keep people out of the neighborhood that's connected by that bridge?
Yeah, well, what's happening is they don't want the fumes, the people that live, the elites that live on the upper, you know, like anything below 59th Street. Oh, we can't take that congestion. But everywhere you go, it's fumes. And, you know, pollution is everywhere. So it's just the money grab.
And that's happening right now in New York.
That's going to happen. They said June 1st they're going to start charging us. And, you know, you have elderly people that's afraid to get on the subway because of the crime is up, of course. And we're going to have to, people from Queens and in black neighborhoods, wherever, they're going to have to pay. And that's why timing is everything. They don't inform us. So we have to really get civically engaged. All of our children need to be running for something. I'm serious, because these people are in position for their family, and that's it. Their pension, and they're taking care of, like, it's called, like, the boule. I didn't even know what that was.
Oh, the black boule. Oh, yeah, I'm familiar.
Wing 5. I didn't know what's key, 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 you know, when they wear that red, the girl, you know, most of our politicians are from that group, like the Link 5 and what do you call that other group? The, I can't think of, oh, Jack and Jill, you know. So I don't have a problem with that. I never knew of that growing up. You know, my father, he was a hardworking man, and he owned a lot of real estate. But what happened with my father, he was introduced to crack. But I can go on and on about the Americans that built this country. And I say Americans because that's all I know. I can't say that I'm Nigerian American. I'm just American and trying to survive. But I'll let some other people take this call. And the way I found you, I was listening to WBAI 99.5. It used to be geared towards issues about us, but now it's not. And I just went online and I typed in black radio and I found you. And I'm
Look
not going to lose you.
Look
you
at God.
You don't have to learn how to say it. Take care. I love you.
All right. I love you too. Donna from Queens. Look at that. Your boy going national with it. Look at that, Savannah. You've been here 2 damn weeks and you already, you know, over here in Queens, that's what they had done to us, you see. And I crossed the bridge. It was $15 to cross it. I couldn't even believe it. You know, and then there's the black boule. The black boule is like a secret society of elite African Americans. And here's how you had the original entryway into the black boule. You had to be very well read. You had to be educated. But they would hold up a brown paper bag. Not kidding you. This is how you became a member of the black boule, right? It's a secret society. And a lot of like fraternities and sororities have like black boule affiliations. They held up a brown paper bag, like a grocery bag, and if your complexion was darker than the brown paper bag, you could not be a member of the boule. All right, it's 15 minutes left. Not even. 11 minutes left in the show. Got three people on hold. You guys hang on. Rob, the caller, Lisa, I got to take a break. I'll come back and I'll take whatever calls I can. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let's talk to Rob. You're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sharon. Hope you're doing well. And so, yeah, I just want to comment on the two things. It was Linda who said about Louisiana, where the whites want their own city. That's very true. I came across an article 2 days ago. They're moving and they're declaring their own city, and it's proof.
Let them have it. Also, I'm not even offended by that, actually. Let them have it.
The city of Milwaukee, I'm not sure what's going on, if it's an area or if it's been going on for a while, but I know before I never got there, but I parked downtown 100 East West Wisconsin Avenue, and I got a parking citation by a company that wasn't the city of Milwaukee police or the city of Milwaukee parking enforcement. It was an outside company. So I guess they're adopting the same thing that Chicago does.
You parked in a private lot. You parked on something private.
I parked on a public street in front of a building, and it wasn't issued by the city of Milwaukee parking. It was a private company that issued the citation. So I don't know what's going on with that.
You have that citation? Can you send a picture of that? You have a picture?
I threw it in the garbage. Threw it in the garbage already because I wasn't sure if it was legit.
Are you sure you didn't park? Because private lots can issue their own citations that aren't really they are enforceable because they're reported to the credit bureau.
I was in front of a public building, and they sent it to collections. They sent the ticket to collections, but I didn't pay it. I thought it was a scam.
So if it was
it was
city,
in front of a building.
So that was not issued by the city of Milwaukee. Well, we know it wasn't issued by the city.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Okay.
No, it wasn't issued by the city of Milwaukee.
We'll pay it.
So that's.
Was there a meter?
Yeah. I didn't put the money in the meter. But,
then you got a ticket, man. Pay
the
ticket.
But it wasn't issued by the city of Milwaukee.
Don't matter. You don't want that on your credit report. Pay the ticket. You didn't put money in a meter.
If
you don't feed the meter, that you're going to get a ticket. Man, I got to go. I got to talk to other people. The caller, what about you? Do you try to park for free at a meter?
Oh, most definitely not. I don't like giving my money away.
Right.
I got more important charities, you know, like Beckham State and Little League to donate money to. So this Boulay thing that you just mentioned is really an odd thing because many of the fraternities and sororities, all of them pretty much, you know, started in the South, right? So like the caller, like in the wintertime, I would pass the test, but I'm one of those people who can a whole lot. And so that's the height of Willie Lynchism and ignorance. And when you look at pictures of those people, the people who were at the top wouldn't have passed the test either. A lot of people started those organizations. And so to even name them after Greeks instead of, you know, maybe some great Kush king or, you know, studying your African history and embracing that is really bizarre, has always been bizarre to me as well. If you're trying to create a strong black organization, why would you name it after Greeks or Romans? And you can have a whole show on that. But I just want to, you know, say it's been a real rough week in our city. You got the mayor cursing. And what I want to say with regards to, similar to what Ms. Donna was talking about, there are politicians who, once they get elected, it's about them and their family. And it's the opportunity for our mayor to prove that that's not him. And do what Obama said, don't boo. When he said don't boo, vote. Well, no, don't curse. Create policies that will prevent more deaths on our streets is what I'm encouraging our young mayor to do.
Okay.
Yep, that's all I got today, man. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you, caller. That's right. Don't curse. Make policies, Cavalier Johnson. Let's talk to Lisa. Apparently, you're going to have the last word, Lisa.
Hey, Sharon. Well, a couple of comments. Well, first of all, yes, I will pay at a parking meter, but you know what? I'm handicapped now, so maybe it's free.
Yo, you can park anywhere. You don't have to pay any meters anywhere. Yeah. You can park anywhere.
Oh, wait a minute. Handicapped people don't get discounts?
Handicapped people don't have to feed meter. If you have a handicap, like a sticker or the thing hanging from your rearview mirror, you can park at any meter without having to feed it. Anytime.
Hey! Oh, I'm going to take advantage of the handicap at anything free. Yeah, boy.
I'm glad you're happy about that. But most of us would rather not be handicapped and just pay the 25 cents. But all right. Take your benefits where you can get them.
I done paid all my 25 cents. Okay, and another thing, yeah, I can't do the electric slide either. I'm sorry. I mean, I can, you know, I when I turn, I'm offbeat. I'm like, oh, darn it, jeez. But anyway, I've been there, done that, tried that. And another thing, as far as the land, I don't know if you ever heard of Brookhaven, Mississippi. It's like 60 miles from Jackson, Mississippi, the capital of Mississippi, Jackson. My great-great-grandfather owned all of that land in Brookhaven, Mississippi. And I remember I was probably about 25, 26, went to Mississippi, you know, to their courthouse to look for, you know, the deeds and everything. But as I was, me and my grandma, my great-grandma, and my mother and my brother and whatever, and my brother, he had a white girlfriend. So we went to the courthouse. But as they were, white people were coming down the stairs, and they were looking at us like we were aliens. And you know me. Well, you know what? I look at them like, I wish a white person would. I would beat up. But anyway, into the courthouse.
You wouldn't.
Oh, yes, you would.
Crush a grave.
I went in there, tried to find the deeds and everything. And I'm like, okay, stopped at 1940-something. And I'm like, okay, well, what happened to the rest of the records? All of a sudden, for some reason, the courthouse burnt down. But you saved other documents, but you didn't save certain other documents? Isn't that funny? And that's what I told the lady, and she just looked at me and walked away. So I gotta find attorney. I'm like,
who owns the land now?
The land is still there, but it's, oh my goodness, it's like people, it's probably about 20,000-25,000 people. You got Walmart there, you got companies there, you got business. And then they named a school after our last name, Goodwin. It's a school there, last after us. I'm like, y'all are very special. Very special. So I would need an attorney, or now that I have the time, wheelchair my butt up to Washington and do some seeking. Because these guys have to go somewhere.
Oh, Lisa, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but your family lost that land a long time ago. And also, you got to keep this in mind. In the South, because the name of the properties and the land and maybe associated businesses are also your family name, that's not your family. That was the plantation owner in which your family was owned, because there are certain places in Itala County, Mississippi, where everything is the Guyton Pharmacy, the Guyton Dentistry. Well, the Guyton is my grandmother's maiden name, meaning that if you go back far enough in history, like, that is who owned my family, not my grandmother or her mother's property. So it's unfortunate, but it's a reality in America. But Lisa, I got to go because my show is over. I've been here every day this week. Now I'm finna go home for the weekend, and I ain't coming back till Monday.
Have
I got to go.
Have a good weekend, sure.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. And that goes for all of you. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday or whenever I'm back.